on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On the Pace.
Smolder lifting too strong. Smolder. The Kiwi has won the end of the minion.
But it is all Lazarus clear of Tiger Tara. And once again, Lazarus has arisen.
And let's head to On the Pace. Greg Hayes is he's OS. He's travelling all around the world. And Adam Hamilton comes straight off the interchange bench. Morning, Adam.
Big shoes to fill. Hazy globe trotting at the moment. Been over there for the Breeders' Crown in America at Hoosier Park. Included in the Sky Racing coverage. Well done to Hazy. But he'll be getting back here really quickly because we have got the most magnificent chapter of the year in harness racing coming up. And someone who's across it even more than me, albeit he's on the other side of the ditch in New Zealand, is Michael Guerin, and he joins us now. Michael, what an unbelievable month or so we've got in front of us.
Yeah, morning, fellas. Big hi to all your listeners, and I hope they've recovered from the highs of Saturday at the Valley, of course. And you're right, Adam. Obviously, the Melbourne Cup's what most people are thinking about, and the Derby, and potentially the McKinnon, or what's now known as the Emirates, if Winks goes around again. But on the harness racing front, very much on the back of that Melbourne Carnival, we have sort of a huge month, and we have sort of two big months in harness racing. There's this one, which predominantly starts on November the 14th at Addington with Lazarus, who we're going to talk about shortly with Mark Purden, the hot favourite to defend his New Zealand Cup. And by the time we go to the end of that month cycle, about December 9, we would have won the Inter-Dominion. So a lot of questions will be asked by then and answered by then, including this could be one of the great Inter-Dominions because we have Lazarus, a very informed Lenny the Shark, and of course all the horses from Perth, horses like Tiger Tara. The other great month, of course, being that first week of February to the first week of March when we have both the Hunter Cup and the Miracle Mile. So, Adam, at the moment, it's sitting up beautifully this month because Lazarus yesterday at Kaikoura was in New Zealand record-setting form. He beat the New Zealand record for 2,400 metres standing start, held by a great horse in Terror to Love, set on a faster track. And if you didn't see Kaikoura yesterday, I tweeted it out, Adam, and I almost felt silly doing it. But on what I've seen so far, Lazarus might be better than he was at this stage last season. And this stage last season, for those who don't remember, he won the New Zealand Cup by 10 lengths.
And I think what he got back yesterday, and Mark Purden is about to join us, I think what he got back yesterday is something he's had in the past, but maybe he hadn't totally earned so far this campaign, and that's the intimidation factor. Because those first two runs back, everything went right for him. And as good as he looked winning, and I'm sure you'd agree, he didn't prove a lot, but yesterday he made a statement.
Well, as Mark will tell us very shortly, Lazarus came back, he's a five-year-old stallion, he's a big round ball of a horse, and he came back probably on the back foot fitness-wise, so Mark drove him kinder in his first two starts back. Yesterday he didn't have that option, and he was quite brutal. Lenny the Shark might have been able to do what he did yesterday. No other horse in Australasia could have done that, what they did yesterday at that level, because Titan Banner, the horse he beat, ran third in the New Zealand Cup last year. And to give you a line on Titan Banner for the listeners, he's probably around about as good as a Tiger Tara type, or at least similar to him. Lazarus sat parked outside him yesterday. Kaikoura is a very flat, if not picturesque, track. Going around those bends, Adam, you lose 1.5 lengths per bend. So he has sat parked outside Titan Banner, gone six lengths further during the distance of the race, beaten them by two, could have beaten them by four. Add those numbers up, you get 10 lengths, which is pretty much what he beat them by last year in the New Zealand Cup.
Yes, it was absolutely breathtaking stuff, and it really speaks volumes for where he's at in regards to the New Zealand Cup. I think Mark Purden's with us now. We might go to Mark. Yes, he is indeed. So, Mark, thanks so much for joining us, and that even must have been out of this world, the feeling of Lazarus back to his dominant, sparkling best yesterday. What a win.
Yeah, good morning, Adam. Yeah, it was a great thrill, and I just felt going into the New Zealand Cup that probably three runs would be ideal, and yesterday I thought he wants a good hit out, and he got it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, Mick's got a few questions for you as well, but I'll dive in first and then hand it over to him. He You've been able to give him an ideal prep, haven't you? Two relatively soft runs back. You took him to Kaikoura because he felt, as you said, that he needed that one more. But the way that he beat Titan Banner, a horse you trained for a while last season and a horse who is racing in tremendous form on the marker pegs, you had to sit outside him. It really doesn't get any more impressive than what we saw.
No, that's right. He's a champion, Adam, and that's what they do.
Mark, with this earlier this season, you had your thoughts that Heaven Rocks was more advanced on him, and he probably has the potential to have the same size motor. Have those thoughts changed in the last month? Has Lazarus just come back? And I don't mean to compare him with Winx, but it's the only comparable thing in Australasian racing to that point where they just do whatever they have to do to win from any position in the field, and all of a sudden the relative ability of the others around them doesn't seem to matter anymore.
No, they just seem to lift, you know, on these occasions, Mick, and that's exactly what he's done all his life. You know, he's just risen to the occasion, and he's got a number of wins now on the board and a lot of stake money, and it just, you know, just proves how good he is.
Mark, Adam asked earlier, or mentioned earlier, the fact that you've won back some respect. Not that anybody disrespected him, but if you do lose a couple of races or you have a couple of close finishes, there's the potential somebody might roll the dice in a New Zealand Cup and maybe try and hold him out. After what happened yesterday, you're going into a New Zealand Cup where you have to draw the front line because there's not going to be a second line apart from the unruly horses. Is it a case now where you would expect to go to a New Zealand Cup and expect to be able to rest the lead when you feel like it?
Well, it's probable that that would happen. I mean, probably Heaven Rocks would be the only one sort of capable of parking him and making a finish of it. But I think maybe Dream About Me would be another one. But look, I think you'd have the rest of them covered.
Let's talk about what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks, Mark. First of all, you have the option for a New Zealand Cup trial. That's tomorrow week. Is he likely to head there?
Look, he's tired today, Mick, so, you know, at this stage I'd probably just lukewarm on that. We'll just wait and see how he picks up, but, you know, it's only 2 weeks today, so, I think what he did yesterday, he probably doesn't have to go there.
Okay, and more importantly, Mark, for our Australian listeners, the Inter-Dominions are just around the corner, so I'll throw some names at you, and you can give us a yes or no at this stage. We realise the New Zealand Cup Carnival, things can change. Champion Mia Dream About Me at this stage is in the Inter-Dominions. Is she intending to go to Perth and for the Inter-Dominions more so than the Mia's races?
Yes, she is, Mick. Yeah, no, she's a great mare, and you wouldn't rule her out.
Okay. Have faith in me, the Australasian mile record holder. He's had a topsy-turvy season. Will he be on the plane to Perth?
Yes, at this stage he will, Mick, and the mobiles will suit him better than the stands. But, you know, he's just had three runs and he's had a win in a second and two of them.
Okay, New Zealand three-year-old of the year last season was Ultimate Machete, winning that title over Vincent, who won the Australian three-year-old of the year. Ultimate Machete's back this Friday night, racing against your good horses. He's been spoken about as going to Perth for the Golden Nugget, but I believe that may be off the cards.
He's 50-50 at this stage, Mick. We haven't confirmed it yet, but he's there, and we'll just make the decision late with him.
Okay, and the Australian Mare of the Year last season was Piccadilly Princess. Will she be returning to Perth?
We'd like to take her, Mick. She knows the track, and she handled it well, and you know she'd be very, very competitive this year.
Okay, so at this stage you have four almost certains to go, and the potential for Ultimate Machete to be 50-50. Is there anything else which will be heading to either Perth or the eastern seaboard of Australia in the next month or so?
No, it'll just be Perth on the agenda over the next month, but it'll be early in 2018. We'll be probably back in Melbourne first and then Sydney.
Mark, just for those punters who are looking at tab.com.au and are thinking about backing Lazarus to beat Lenny the Shark, which won't be easy, at the Inter-Dominion, how certain are you he will go? Is it a case now that unless something goes wrong, he'll be on the plane?
That's right, Mick. Yeah, unless something goes wrong, otherwise he'll be there.
Okay, this Friday night, Mark, you have Heaven Rocks, Dream About Me, and I believe potentially Have Faith in Me heading to Addington on Friday night. where do they stack? Lazarus is top dog. Who's second, third, and fourth in order of your New Zealand Cup favourites at the moment in your mind?
Oh, look, Heaven Rocks is, you know, the ability is there, but he can let you down. But certainly on ability, he's probably number two. But Dream About Me's a great mare, and he wouldn't want to give her any ground. And she's a very close second.
Well, it's incredibly exciting, Mark, isn't it, when we're talking about those sort of calibre of names being the second stringers in the stable. You obviously took a lot of confidence out of Perth last year because you've upped the ante by boosting the numbers to go across. You felt comfortable about the whole thing. You got great results, and you're taking basically your most elite members of the team over there.
Yeah, that's right, Adam, and you know it's a lot of money they put up for the final, and you know, things can go wrong with your best horse, but, you know, we've still got some high power right behind sort of Lazarus, and either one of them could come out on top.
Well, I think it's been absolutely fantastic that you've been open and laid the cards on the table with what the plans are around Perth, given the amount of early betting that goes on in a lot of these races. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Massive few weeks for you. Personally, I look forward to catching up with you over in Perth, but good luck with the whole New Zealand Carnival before that, Mark, and thanks again.
Yeah, good, Adam. Look forward to it too.
Mick, that was pretty insightful stuff. He's declared his hand.
One thing I didn't ask, Adam, and most importantly, there's people listening to this show right now, and let me give you the best financial advice I can give you. On tab.com.au and the Inter-Dominion market, Dream About Me is $7.50 a place for the Inter-Dominion final. Now, she's won an Auckland Cup. She was second to Lazarus in the Ashburton Flying Stakes. If she goes, I presume, and we'll hear from McRadley shortly, she'll be split in the heat, so therefore she can't be in a heat against Lazarus. All of a sudden, she's got a huge chance of being in the final over the 2,900 metres. If you're listening to this and you've got your computer nearby, tab.com.au, that's $7.50 a place for Dream About Me, is outstanding when you compare her to, yes, there's Lenny the Shark, and yes, there's Chicago Bull and Soho Tribeca. They're very good horses. But the rest of the horses in the market alongside who aren't as proven as her. We'll hear very shortly from Beck Barkley about a wonderful horse in San Carlo, but he's yet to be as proven as her. That may change over the next 6 weeks, but that's outstanding value for a place when you consider Adam Bowles start 10 in the final, and unless something goes wrong, she'll be one of those 10.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, we've only got to go back to how she pushed Lazarus right to the wire when they met only a couple of weeks back. So just recapping that, at this stage, it looks very likely Mark will have Lazarus, Have Faith in Me, and Dream About Me in the Perth Inter-Dominion Series, and Piccadilly Princess for the mares, and a question mark over the early favourite in most people's eyes, Ultimate Machete, for the big four-year-old races, including the Golden Nugget. Now, so, valuable
Adam,
info there.
Adam, the other
there.
Thing is, what Mark didn't say there, and we had to cut him short because we want to get to Beck very shortly, I'm pretty sure he'll leave one or two of those horses in Perth for both the Fremantle Cup and the WA Cup. Now, there's no futures open on those yet. That's unheard of for New Zealand horses to stay there for those races. I mean, you know, horses stay with other trainers, but like not elite Lazarus-type horses. I think there's a very, very good chance Lazarus will stay in Perth, race in the Frio Cup, the WA Cup, then head to Melbourne and race in the Hunter Cup.
Yep, terrific info. Let's go to Beck Bartley now, who is the co-trainer and driver of this exciting horse, this horse that's, he's old school, and I speak of San Carlo. He's had a few little issues along the way, but ultimately, as you join us, Beck, I think the reason he's been so lightly raced at this age is he was a goofy young fella who just took a long time to work out what racing was all about.
Yeah, that's right. He was just so immature as a young horse. And, you know, I think we just used to get excited when he had a trial and done it without galloping. So he's come a long way from that.
Early on, I know Steve Donoghue, who you trained the horse with, was saying that, Steve O'Donoghue was saying that I think you went to about 10 trials and he might have galloped in about 7 of them as a 3-year-old.
Yeah, no, there was quite a few he galloped in. But no, he's a completely different horse from that now. And, you know, we're very lucky that he's improved.
Mick, he was fantastic the other day at the Maryborough Cup, and he beat a serious horse in Field Marshal. What do you make of Perth? What do you make of the small track at Gloucester Park? Because we've seen him at Melbourne where he's been very efficient, but Gloucester Park's probably not as well cambered.
Yeah, we'll probably just have to wait until we get over there, I guess. But a lot of people said it shouldn't really worry him that much. He should handle it pretty good.
This is your first season with him in the Open class, and you've dipped your toe in there. You had no luck with the Bowery. You brought him the Victoria Cup. Is it very much for you and Steve a season where you're thinking, OK, let's see what we can get this season, hoping that next season he's going to be a better horse?
Yeah, no, this is just all experience for him this year, really. You know, all the other horses he's raced against, they've had a couple of years on him, and this is his first year, so... Yeah, it's just all experience for him and just to try and make him a better horse.
Beck, is that the same for you? I mean, obviously you're now stepping into the big game against, you know, Puppet and Mark Purden and all those sort of people at the absolute highest level. Is this a chance for you to grow your experience base?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's a different sort of pressure compared to, you know, your country races. So, you know, we're both going into it together as amateurs, I guess. So, no, I just probably couldn't ask for a better horse to do it with.
Are you excited?
Yeah,
must be an
very
exciting
excited.
Time knowing that you're going to be in these sort of things, and you might even have a chance of racing Lenny in the Yarra Valley Cup.
Yeah, we haven't really made up our mind about that. That's probably 50-50 at this stage. But, I'm really excited. I just, you know, I didn't think that this would happen so early on in my career, and just very grateful and thankful that it's come along so soon.
Yeah, that's interesting. That Yarra Valley Cup coming up on Thursday week. Lenny will be there, Field Marshal will be there, and you guys will make a decision a little bit closer to it. It's good to have that option. But just going back to Maryborough the other day, winning it was one thing, but I'm tipping the most exciting part, particularly keeping in mind the small track at Perth and the importance of barrier draws, was that gate speed. It's a new dimension to San Carlo. Well, A, he's never been asked to show, and as a result hasn't shown it, but that was explosive off the gate.
Yeah, well, I was quite surprised. You know, me and Steve were talking about the race on the way to the races, and leading, we didn't even talk about it because he didn't think it was an option, but... I couldn't believe how quick he got out. That's, you know, it's really good that he's starting to show that speed, and now and he's learning what it's all about.
Beck, when you look at horses, because obviously we all do, you would have seen, obviously, replays of the Victoria Cup. I think Lenny was a fair way in front of you with the barrier draws the way they were. And we all look at Lenny and we go, wow. And we look at Lazarus and we all sort of go, wow. Well, now you've got to start taking them on. You've taken them on once and you've got to start taking them on more often. Is it one of those things now where you have to step away from being a fan, like we all are of those good horses, and start to look at them and look for chinks in their armour and analyse how you are going to try and beat them?
Yeah, you know, I have no doubt if we sort of drew 8 on Lenny's back in the Victoria Cup that we, you know, I'm not saying we could have beat him, but we probably could have pushed him. And so it's, you know, probably not this season, but next season we'll definitely be looking at those things. And, you know, that race next year, we might have drove him a little bit different just for him having the experience. And next year I think will be our year.
You're a 25-year-old. You get to go over to Perth. You're good mates with Sky Bond, who's one of the top trainers over there, and you get to stay with Sky and you know, spend time around some of the greatest horses and the greatest horse training names in the business as well. What an incredible opportunity.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't take it for granted. I went there a few weeks ago now and absolutely loved it, and just can't wait to get back over there and spend a lot more time over there with them. And, you know, Sky's a really good trainer, and I just can't wait to learn a lot more off her.
And just quickly, the extra dimension to this horse, and this is a story in itself, is old Jack. It's Jack Eichhorn, isn't it, who owns the horse, is that right, and bred it?
Yeah. Jack and all their family are starting to get behind it now, and they're all coming to the trots and enjoying it.
Well, to set the scene, Jack's 92. He played AFL football. He played state cricket. And he, at the height of his days, was one of the most feared punters on either harness or thoroughbred racing. And he's been such a huge influence, obviously, on Steve O'Donoghue and yourself with this horse. To share it with Jack in his twilight years must be incredible.
Oh, it is, you know. They're not owners anymore. They're just really great friends. So for them to give me the opportunity, I can't thank them enough. And we just couldn't ask for better people and better horse to enjoy the ride with.
Well, and it's been a hell of a ride. I think we've all enjoyed the story, and we sense there is a chapter or two to come yet, starting with Perth. Beck, thanks so much for sharing a bit of insight around San Carlo with us. Enjoy the trip. Good luck getting over there, and we look forward to seeing you in Perth for night one.
I will do. Thank you.
What a ripper story. We need these stories in harness racing, don't we, Mick?
Yeah, no doubt. And also, it just goes to show again the strength of the young female base in harness racing, whether it's from Kieran Manning, you know, downwards, because she's been the most experienced of them. We've got so many. I mean, Lauren Tritton was Lauren Pinella, obviously Amanda Turnbull in New South Wales, Kerry Ann Turner in Victoria. The list is even longer. Ashley Syker, of course, drove in the Victoria Cup recently. That's now Ashley Drees. It's amazing. It's absolutely staggering, Adam. I mean, we all are thrilled about what happened with Michelle Payne in the Melbourne Cup a couple of years ago. And obviously, Gay Waterhouse has been the absolute flag bearer for this. But the level and the consistently high level of female winners at major races in both New South Wales and Victoria, and before them, of course, Natalie Rasmussen with Blacks of Fake, it's just jaw-dropping. It leads the world, not by some margin, by percentages in the hundreds. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's something we should be immensely proud of, and so should all of the women doing great things in our sport. About to chat with Mick Radley, the El Supremo over there of Gloucester Park. Just before we do that, latest Inter-Dominion market at tab.com.au has Lazarus 380 into 350 after yesterday. Soho Tribeca's been off the map. Now into $5, outright second favourite. Chicago Bullet 550. Those two horses to race each other, with Shandale Ottashoom in the James Brennan at Gloucester Park on Friday night. Lenny the Shark on that third line at 5.50. Tiger Tara at 14. Now he goes around in race 6, the free-for-all at Menangle on Saturday night, drawn the outside as they usually do, the good horses under their system. Shandale, who's been a real emerging talent over there in WA, at $16. Have Faith in Me at 26, Our Dream About Me at 31, as Mick Radley joins us now. Mick, Michael Guerin's on the phone with us as well, and both of us will be there for the business end of this Perth Inter-Dominion. But you must just have a look at the fields everywhere over the next week and a half or so and think, boy, roll them all into Perth, and what a carnival we're going to have. The best of the three by far.
Yeah, hello Adam and Mick. Yeah, I'm usually there on the Monday morning when they roll in on the plane at about 4 a.m. just to make sure they all get off and are safely there. But yeah, it's certainly exciting times. Lazarus was just awesome yesterday, and the Victorians are certainly going well. I was there when Lenny won, and obviously San Carlo was super again now the other. So yeah, look, everything's going well, and just hoping that they all stay up and are on that plane when they come over.
Mick, most importantly, we spoke to Mark Curtin earlier, I'm not sure if you heard that. He is looking to bring three horses. Can I ask you, do they split horses from the same trainers in the heats? Is he guaranteed to have Dream About Me, Have Faith in Me, and Lazarus in different heats?
Look, they splinter on rankings, but I think trainers can come into it. But the way that they're ranked anyway, Lazarus is one, Dream About Me is four, and Have Faith in Me is five. Now, they probably, if they do meet, it'd be only once at the most. So, look, I'd imagine that they'd probably stay apart. Usually see the top three stay apart. So Lazarus, Lenny the Shark and Chicago Bull won't meet till the final. And then Warren sort of works in the rest of the heats over the three heats. So everyone sort of meets everyone at least once. but depending on trainers, sometimes like if Hall or Bond have more than three or four, then they've got to meet. It's just simply the way it is. But with three, it might be possible. That's up to Warren Wishart the way he splits them, but mainly it's on the rankings.
All right, and one of the wonderful things for you is that you've got some serious depth in your own free-for-all ranks over there, and I'm assuming the field's not out until later today, that in this James Brennan on Friday night, the A-team will be there, Chicago Bulls, Soho, Tribeca and Shandale.
Yeah, look, they're at the moment the benchmark for everyone else, and it's an amazing crop of five-year-olds this year that we see over here, and like Lazarus is a five-year-old as well. So the crop of five-year-olds across the country in New Zealand is staggering. So it's been interesting. We've changed the free-for-alls a little bit. We've got a $50,000 race virtually every second week and a 25, and you see those good horses meeting every second week, and then the second tier of meeting and producing great races as well. So the rating's been fantastic. Those five-year-olds, as you said, Chicago Bull was fabulous when he won last week, but Soho Tribeca was just out of this world. I mean, he's got to eat up the 2900 of the grand final. And if he finds the front, well, they've got to really know they're in a race against him, because he is an outstanding horse with just that much bottom. It's not funny. And Shandell's the horse that's really surprised me over here. I wasn't quite sure whether he's as good as Chicago Bull and Soho Tribeca, but his last two performances have been very, very good as well. So the West Aussies, they're pretty good this year.
Yeah, Mick.
I'm looking at the horses for the series, Mick, and as unbiasedly as you can, who's your favourite for the series at the moment?
Oh, I think Lazarus. Look, he's the benchmark for Australasia, what he did in the Victoria Cup. When he's peaking, he's almost unbeatable, isn't he, when Mark gets him to his peak. But saying that, Lenny the Shark, David Aiken told me he's as good as he was in 2015 when he won. And our horses are pretty good, Chicago Bull and Soho Tribeca, as I said. But, I mean, the depth of the top 10 is by far the best of the 3 years so far. I've got no doubt about that. I mean, that's not even talking about our Dream About Me and Have Faith in Me, who are two superstars as well. So,
and they're going to be there. I mean, Mark's basically said they're locked and loaded for the big event.
Yeah, I listened to him speak to you boys, and it was great. I was waiting to hear him to say that, but for him to come out and say that, you know, it's only something that's going to go wrong, which is going to keep them away from Perth, is just outstanding. So, you know, to have the quality of those horses come over, and to have Mark come over with such a strong team is a great endorsement of the series, and something we're very excited about.
And it's something you set out to achieve, isn't it, to recreate the genuine Trans-Tasman rivalry, if you like, of the Inter-Dominion. And the greatest possible thing was, maybe not for all the punters, but Smolder winning last year.
Yeah, it sure was. The first year we didn't actually attract the New Zealand horse, which was a little bit disappointing, and we know we were close to the New Zealand Cup, but we were hoping that the prize money would actually entice some. But for Mark to come over last year, and also the Duns, with Franco Nelson to come over last year was great. And for Mark to come back after that performance, and he didn't have, it wasn't as if like it was a dream run for him. He did have a few setbacks when he was over here as well, but the fact that he's you know, reloaded with an even stronger team is justification. And I think this year's got to be the best of the 3 years, which is great for us and myself and Barry Hamilton, who worked pretty hard to make sure that the Inter-Dominion has worked. It's very pleasing to see these calibre of horses come over.
Well, mate, also you have this spill-on effect, Michael. And I know he's not publicly talking about this, but I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. I think Lazarus is going to stay for the Frio Cup and the WA Cup.
Yeah, that's really great. I mean, I was a little bit surprised they haven't stayed before, but there had been a Victoria Cup and a Hunter Cup back in the East. So with the Victoria Cup moving, that sort of helped us out as far as horses deciding whether to stay or not, because without that Victoria Cup, there's $750,000 on offer over here in two races, and then they can go back for the Hunter Cup and then the Miracle Mile. So I think the movement of the Victoria Cup has helped us in two ways. It's been a great lead-in race to start with in October, and also it's helped us with taking that congestion out of that that New Year period in the January, February, March, where it's really congested for Australian harness racing. So It's helped us a couple of ways, and you know, hopefully we'll see a few stay over here and take on our best in the Victorian in the WA Pacing Cup and the Fremantle Cup.
Well, I think the entire industry on both sides of the Tasman have got a huge debt of gratitude to you, to Barry, to Rawa, to all of the backers of the Inter-Dominion. The Inter-Dominion was in a complete state of flux and uncertainty, and you've grabbed it, you've resurrected it, and it's even though this is the last of your 3 years, I think you can absolutely take credit for getting the Inter-Dominion back on the map and back heading in the right direction. Just before we do let you go, I just want to whet your appetite, I guess, because New Zealand on Friday night, this is what you've got ahead. Dream about me, have faith in me, and, well, Heaven Rocks, who won't be in Perth, but they're going round. Menangle Tiger Tara Saturday night. Yarra Valley Cup next Thursday. Lenny will be there. Put potentially San Carlo as well, and then the James Brennan over your way, Chicago Bull, Soho, Tribeca, and Shandale, and we had Lazarus winning yesterday. Wow. It's if that doesn't get anyone excited about the Inter-Dominion, I completely give up, guys.
Yeah, no, it's great to see these stars out for everyone as well, because they're all up and about at the moment in every state of Australia and New Zealand, and that's got to be great for harness racing.
Yeah, the thing is too, guys, let's not forget, there's going to be anomalies. There's going to be a horse between now and then who doesn't get on the plane or gets injured. That's just life. Of course it does, but at the moment you're stacking up with the top 10. If the top 10 horses in the rankings, and you might drop one out, for example, and slide a San Carlo in there, those horses turn up, fellas. This is going to be an Inter-Dominion. Going back to something like the 2001, 2002s we saw at Albion Park and Moonee Valley and those sort of places, where it was an Inter-Dominion full of champions. And we haven't had many of those in the last 15 years. A lot of them have had two good horses. We're going to have potentially 10 horses in the final who have won Group 1s and a whole bunch of them between them. So looking forward to it, guys. As I said, everybody's thinking about the Melbourne Cup. They'll get through that. It'll be an enormous time. We'll all love it, of course, and hopefully we see Winks in the Emirates on the last day of the carnival. But then, gentlemen, I think it's harness racing's turn to shine for about the next month period.
It certainly is. To you, Mick Radley, thanks for all the work you've done and for joining us today. May everything fall into place nicely over the next few weeks. We'll certainly be speaking to you, or Greg Hayes will be, a number of times before the series gets underway. Look forward to seeing you in Perth. Thanks very much. And Michael Guerin, to you, terrific insight. No one's closer to the Purden Rasmussen barn than you are, and I think that shone through in the info that we gleaned to help all of the listeners around going beyond the New Zealand Cup. I'll look forward to seeing you at Addington in a couple of weeks' time.
Adam, I look forward to seeing what our dream about me is paying for a place in about 2 hours' time after a hyperbole today. I'm picking the 7:50, might be on the way out the door.
Great stuff, mate. Thanks very much. Mate. And thanks to the listeners. That's fantastic insight from two of the key players in the sport, the Mix, Mick Radley and Mick Guerin, talking harness today.